Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. If you suffer a sprain, strain, or fracture, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and Nall in Overland Park. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Nate, tell people again where you are and why you're there.
I'm in Beverly Hills, California right now, and I'll be calling one last game for the Gold Cup for Fox today. It is, I'm sure that you'll want to write this down, everybody, but it's at 6 o'clock Central Time on FS2, Suriname versus Guadeloupe, in the last game of the Group C part of the Gold Cup. Then I'll be flying home, and I'll be off the show tomorrow morning and then calling the Sporting Kansas City game tomorrow night back in Kansas City, which it's going to be interesting to see who's available to play in that game, by the way, and if Peter Vermes is able to actually coach in that game, because he said on his news conference yesterday that he and a couple of the players for Sporting are in the COVID protocol now.
What players?
He did not say.
I'm sure you know. Just say it, and then we can move on.
I do not know.
Do you know?
I don't know.
You know.
Do you know and just don't want to tell us?
No, I don't know. I would rather, when it comes to stuff like that, I'd rather not know, because then I can't get in trouble for telling people things I'm not supposed to tell them.
Loose lips sink ships.
That's right.
Have you gotten in trouble before by saying things you shouldn't say on the air?
Yes.
With Sporting?
I don't think I have with Sporting. I remember...
With who then?
Well, I do remember when Matt Beisler signed his contract extension with Sporting. Way back in the day, he like sent me a picture of like the contract going across the fax machine.
Right.
And I think I said on our show, hey, I think Matt Beisler signed a new contract with Sporting.
And that didn't go over well, did it?
You weren't supposed to say that. We were going to make an announcement.
Right.
I wasn't working for the team at that point, so.
Screw it all.
You work for the listeners of Sports Radio 810.
That's right.
This is your priority.
But you know, there's privacy laws with all this COVID stuff.
If you have information, you're obligated to give the information on this radio show.
Well, we don't even know if Peter Vermes has COVID, right? Like, just because you're in the COVID protocol doesn't necessarily mean you have it. He sounded sick, though. I don't know if you guys heard his press conference yesterday. He sounded like he had a cold or something like that. So I don't know if he has it or not, but he didn't sound good.
You sound like you have a cold.
Do I really?
Yes.
I something about traveling. Did that happen to you, Jake? Where you get a little?
Yeah, you don't. My traveling was not normal.
Right, I was going to say something about whiskey.
That would be more accurate. I had some remedies that, you know.
Yeah.
Bill Rafferty talked.
Say that again?
Raff.
What about him?
He would teach me things on the road.
Go on.
Like you said bourbon, but he would tell me to stay away from the brown booze.
Stay away from the brown booze.
Drink the
Why?
Clear, young man.
Why?
Bounce back ability.
Bounce back ability with vodka or
yes, clear.
Some delicious
he said,
gin?
He said, if you're drinking the hard stuff a night before your work, stick with the clear.
Okay.
You're going to bounce back quicker.
What else did he teach you?
No, I mean, I had a hell of an evening with him at the Trump Hotel in Atlantic City.
Oh, boy.
Good God. What year was that?
Sounds awesome.
It was awesome. It was amazing.
I love him.
He is one of the coolest guys I've ever worked with. I was walking out of the casino, and he was flying in late, and he was checking in. He said, no, young fellow, you're going back in there with me.
Right.
And I was like, yes, I am. Yes.
And when was this?
I want to say it was the A-10 tournament. We did the finals of the Atlantic 10 tournament in Atlantic City. We did the semis and the finals, 2012 or 13. one of those 2 years. He did. He was doing the tournament with Ian.
With this close relationship you develop with such a legendary broadcaster, why has he not been on this show?
It's hard to get a hold of. I mean, he doesn't. I don't even know if he has a cell phone today. But you know, he's not an easy man to get a hold of. But when he sees you walking out of the casino with an agenda to walk into the casino because it's late at night and he's just checking in. He's his best friend in the world.
Right.
So we sat down at a table, and I ordered a bourbon, and he's like, no, young man. No. We got an early call tomorrow. You stick with the clear. I said, oh, yes, sir. I'll take what he's having.
He was mentoring you.
He was. It was one of the most brutal games I ever worked.
So you didn't listen to him.
This is awesome.
No, I mean, I did listen to him, but I stayed with him at the blackjack table till like 4 in the morning, and I had an early call like at 7.
Did he win?
I honestly, there was a lot of missing parts that, because I'd been in the casino for probably 4 or 5 hours before he even checked. He checked in. So
there's a lot of missing parts.
So, right? I mean, so I flew into Philadelphia, you know, early in the evening, drove straight to Atlantic City, and then like I did not waste any time getting after it. I mean, I was getting after it on the ride up to Atlantic City.
Well.
I mean, this is rather disgusting, but I remember losing my lunch in the shower the next morning.
Okay. All right.
But, I mean, there was a TV in the shower.
There was a TV in the shower.
And a seat and a bench.
And a seat. And you needed all of that, didn't you?
It's some of the most miserable moments of my life.
Isn't it funny? We were going to talk NBA Finals in this segment, and now we're talking about you throwing up in a shower with a TV.
After a night at the blackjack table.
Yeah.
With wrath.
Dude, I just love hearing that he's that awesome of a guy, because, like, when you watch him, he just seems like, I would love to hang out with that guy.
Yo, yeah. But I mean, that's who he is, honestly. Like, that's the guy he is. Like, he's not putting on a show. That's not a character.
Yeah, you know that? I love that.
No, young fellow, you're going back in there with me.
So,
yes, sir.
I'm a little nervous today. I think I haven't gotten to meet him yet because we haven't worked on the same day, but I think I'm going to get to be around Rob Stone a little bit today. And I want to score his digits so we can have him on the show to talk about the Ginger Assassin, you know? But
you wouldn't be intimidated by Rob Stone, would you? I mean, you'd just go up and say, hey, can
well,
I get your number?
I don't know. I don't know how much time I'm going to get to be around him, but I talked to John Strong about how, you know, with this whole Daniel Shallowy Hungarian Assassin thing came about because of Rob Stone. And I was like, do you think he would? He said, oh, he would love that story. He would be so happy. So,
right.
You know, I want to tell him that story.
He did it! He got the 7-10, Randy!
Oh, he did it!
Woo-hoo! My goodness, the Ginger Assassin!
Yeah, you just go up and say, hey, can I get your number? I'd love to have you on the show. I feel like that guy would be approachable.
Be, you know, when he introduces himself, you know, I'm Rob Stone. Like, my goodness, yeah. Rob Stone!
It's Rob Stone.
My goodness! Randy! He got the 7-10, Randy!
He did it, Randy!
All right, let's play a couple of clips. Do you have these, Jake? Do you have these prepared for us?
I'm red eye.
Are you really?
Sure, man. Which ones you want? What do you want? What do you want to play? Where are we going?
Let's start with Richard Jefferson, who we're talking about NBA Finals Game 6, Milwaukee one game away from the championship, and I mean Giannis already offering up two of the most memorable plays we've seen in recent NBA Finals history.
Love that guy.
Right, I'm glad you're saying that now. You love him. Why do you love him?
Well, I've always loved him because I love his story. I love rags to riches type stories. I love people who overcome things to become great, and he The dude literally did not have a country on this planet that would recognize him as a citizen for most of his childhood. And I just think that's fascinating. You know, literally the country was born in would not recognize him as a citizen. The country that his parents were from would not recognize him as a citizen. And now he's one of the most famous athletes on the entire planet, and everybody would love to have him. And he seems like just like a, he seems like a great dude too. Like when you listen to him talk, he's thoughtful. He seems like a good teammate. What's not to like about him?
Okay, so here's Richard Jefferson on Giannis. If he wins, winning a championship in the hardest way possible.
It's going to mean so much for him because he did it the most difficult way, to do it where you got drafted, to do it in a small market, to, you know, build to build from within. When you look at bringing in Chris Middleton and then going and getting the right pieces, going and giving the farm to get Drew Holiday. So it's not even just Giannis. You want to give a compliment to the Bucks organization, to the fan base. But, you know, really the fact that Giannis did it the hardest way possible, that not a lot of guys do, that it's a very special opportunity and a special championship if they're able to finish it off.
So now let's hear from ESPN NBA reporter Cassidy Hubbard. And here she talks about Giannis. He doesn't run with the other superstars.
The bigger thing is that he wasn't playing with them in AAU. I mean, right. He didn't pick up a basketball
right.
until age 13.
Right.
He was selling trinkets on the street of Greece. I mean, he has one of the most like improbable stories. I mean, in a league where, you know, Cinderella stories, there's a bunch of them. He's
right.
one of the most magical, if you right. will. But I think your comparison to Luka, like, yes, LeBron saying that he wanted him to join him on the LeBron brand. Like, I think that was like a little nod to him that maybe
right.
people are pulling from. But overall, like when you look at Giannis, he's a two-time MVP. He's a one win away from winning the finals. There's a bit of a difference between what Giannis is doing, solidifying himself as one of the greatest in the game, if
right.
he can pull this off and continue to build at age 26.
Right.
And he's already saying 10, 12 years, I want to be competing at this level. Compared to Luka, who doesn't have an MVP,
right.
hasn't sniffed real playoff run.
Okay, so
Giannis, this was the
you hear a couple of clips about Giannis. Let's stop there for a moment. And so two-time now MVP and five-time All-Star. And this is the guy that in 2020 wins the MVP and the NBA Defensive Player of the Year. Three times he's been on the All-Defensive First Team. Three times All-NBA First Team. He's done it all now. And you're talking about MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, and now a game away from winning a championship. And you heard Richard Jefferson talk about he's done it the hardest way possible. And if I can go back to a young man by the name of Nate Bucati, who was bitching and complaining about Brooklyn because you felt like it was just going to be a coronation for the Nets. They put together this super team, and it's going to ruin the NBA playoffs, and that's why you didn't want them to win. You didn't want this team of Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving to win. And I know they weren't at full strength, but they stood up to the Nets. They faced great adversity, and they stood up, and they were able to get through just an all-time great performance by Kevin Durant. In many years, that would have been enough for the Nets to advance. But the Bucks matched it. They won on the road. They did it in dramatic fashion. They slayed the dragon that most people thought were going to march right through the playoffs and win an NBA championship. And that was your fear. You said that several times,
yep.
right, Nate? Like, you know, I want to get in these playoffs. I just who? I remember you saying who could possibly beat the Nets? Who could beat this? Is like the Nets are just going to walk right through everyone. Well, the Bucks did it. The Bucks, and now they're a game away from a championship. And you're listening to Richard Jefferson. He didn't say LeBron, but you could feel him talking about LeBron. He's doing it with the team that drafted him in a small market. He didn't have to run away from home and build a super team to if he could pull it off. That's not, hey. The Suns could win tonight, win game 7, and then all this conversation could be all for naught. But we're talking about Giannis having a chance to win this thing tonight in Milwaukee. And so I suggest that's one of the biggest reasons why we should all appreciate him and love him. If, I mean, if you're an NBA fan, you watch him, you got to love him. You got to love his talent and his skill set and everything that he does. And like you said, his demeanor and
a tinkle.
The way he
a tinkle.
Yeah, he talks about
I went to take a tinkle, it came back.
Talks about tinkling. And I know that you resist criticizing LeBron even when he deserves to be criticized. You refuse to criticize and be even-handed when you talk about LeBron James. But what about that idea?
Yeah, he wears brawn-colored glasses.
Right. What about that idea from Richard Jefferson? Like, hey, he's doing this the hardest way possible. He had a chance to force his way out of Milwaukee, but instead he agreed to a 5-year Supermax extension worth $228.2 million, which at the time was the richest contract in the history of the NBA. And look, I get it. Like, oh, what a sacrifice. He signed for $228 million. But there are players that ran away from their situation in an effort to try to win an NBA championship instead of doing it at home. And you could also, and let's play this next clip. So Cassidy Hubbard talks about how the Bucks did for Giannis what, like Damian Lillard right now. He wants to win the championship. He's a superstar, but he doesn't feel like the Trailblazers have given him enough help, and that's why there's this talk about him forcing a trade. And he said, look, I don't want to be traded out of here, but I need help. They need to go out and get me some guys. And I don't feel like I don't think there was anyone when Giannis, when they added, and it was a huge trade, don't get me wrong, but then when they added Drew Holiday, like, oh, it's done. Done deal. They're beating the Lakers. They're beating the Nets. This is now a super team. No. They went out. Chris Middleton came up through the franchise the hard way. Second round pick. Giannis. And they did make the big, bold move to get Drew Holiday, but I don't think that was anything like what LeBron did in Miami or what the Nets tried to do or these other super teams. And so here is Cassidy Hubbard just explaining that the Bucks did for Giannis, what Damian Lillard wants Portland to do for him.
I just want to make the point of look at the Bucks. Look what the Bucks did for Giannis. They gave a king's ransom for Drew Holiday. And it's, as we saw, game 5, it paid off. They got him the help. Then they pulled in PJ Tucker. They made moves. They realized that they had a generational talent in his prime that they needed to strike and take advantage of. And I think that's the point that Damian Lillard is making. Now, the Blazers have had fine seasons, but it's not good enough. It's not good enough in the West. It's not good enough in the greater landscape of the NBA. And they have a star in Damian Lillard. He needs help. And so that's what I feel like he's saying.
And so, again, it was a big move. It was a bold move. They gave up a hell of a – go back and look at the trade and see how much they gave up. But it wasn't one of these deals like, oh, this is stupid. This is an NBA all-star team now. No. It wasn't that. But Giannis – decided, instead of forcing his way out of Milwaukee, and some people thought that was going to happen, he stayed, he signed the extension, they gave him some more help with Drew Holiday to add to what they had with him and Middleton, and now they're a game away from winning a championship, and I think that's all the more reason to like Giannis and to root for them tonight. That he didn't run away from home and go try to build a super team because it was just too hard to win a championship, to win his first championship in Milwaukee. So, I mean, you know, hey, maybe I'll go to L.A. and win one real quick with the Clippers. Clippers, no. Clippers or the Lakers. Or I'll go, you know, join a super team, and then I'll come back later on to Milwaukee and do it. After I go build it, and I'll get my first championship out of the way and then come back home. He's doing it the hard way, like Richard Jefferson said. Does that make you like him more, even though that's not that's the opposite of what LeBron James did?
Well, I Yes. I mean, yeah, I love the whole situation. And I like it for the league because I don't like guys running off and creating super teams.
Except when LeBron does it, apparently. Right.
I didn't cheer for LeBron when he played for the Heat.
Oh, you didn't cheer for him when he played for the Heat?
No, I cheered against him. I was cheering for Paul Pierce and the Celtics in those days. I didn't like what he did leaving for Miami. I understood it because he had no shot with what he had in Cleveland. If they had made some moves, but what he had in Cleveland the first time around, that supporting cast was garbage. And I started cheering for LeBron when he went back to Cleveland because I thought that was impressive that he went back home and tried to win in Cleveland. That's when I started cheering for LeBron.
It would have been more impressive if he would have stayed and never left and won his first title there and stuck it out, I think.
Sure would have. But I can understand making it to the finals a couple times and not having any supporting cast at all. And everybody, you know, and the thing is...
Then why don't you like when the Nets do it?
Everybody in the world...
Why didn't you like when Harden did it and
he basically did the same thing when he went to the Lakers. I mean, he recruited Anthony Davis and...
I don't love it. I don't love that. I mean, look, I like I said, I didn't love that he went to Miami. I didn't cheer for him when he went to Miami. I understood it, but I didn't like it. Like, I didn't want to see... I wasn't cheering for Miami.
But you cheer for him now that he's in L.A.
I mean, I kind of want to see him, you know... Yeah, like, I guess I kind of seen him just... He has gotten so much hate for being one of the greatest players to ever live that I kind of root for him now. Yeah. I think...
You ain't no kind of root for him. I mean, kind of root for him.
Look, I like LeBron. LeBron, how many guys have been tagged with the chosen one type thing when they were a teenager and actually lived up to it? And to me, LeBron's Kobe. Lived up to every step of it. What's that?
Kobe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. And Kobe is a freaking all-time great, you know? I mean, and Kobe... refused to play for the Charlotte Hornets when they wanted to draft him. So I'm not playing for you guys. I want to play in L.A. I mean, you know, it's guys want to be in good situations. And I'm glad for Giannis that they got him the players. And maybe Middleton wasn't supposed to be a star, but he is. He's freaking awesome. And Drew Holiday's freaking awesome. And Giannis is as great as he is, and he's an MVP caliber player. He wouldn't be in the finals without those guys. He wouldn't. And you know what? The Nets, if they hadn't all gotten hurt, maybe they'd be in the finals. But two of those three stars got hurt, and that's part of the game as well. And I just I love it. I mean, I love the fact it is part of the reason I love Giannis so much and love the Bucks story because I don't think it's good for the NBA when it's just the Celtics and Lakers and teams from the East Coast and West Coast putting together super teams. I hated the way that Oklahoma City team dismantled itself. And I'll never root for Kevin Durant, James Harden, or Westbrook because those guys had a chance to be that type of team in the middle of the country, and their egos all got in the way.
I want you to say...
You got to give Giannis a ton of credit for that, too.
That you give Giannis a ton of credit and you like him because he did it the hard way, unlike LeBron.
Sure, yeah. I might like him more than LeBron, honestly. Yeah.
Whoa.
Honestly.
Well, you're...
And I like LeBron a lot. I'm not saying he's better than LeBron yet. I don't know if I'll ever say that. We'll see. But, yeah, I like his...
He's better than LeBron right now.
Well, yeah.
I mean, like right now, currently. Prime. Right.
Yeah.
No, I thought that's what you were saying.
But hey, look, I mean, we're talking about a two-time
MVP. I hope you do end up liking him more than LeBron.
What's that?
I said, I hope you do like him more than LeBron.
You should.
Now, don't you think? His upbringing has led him to?
He didn't run away.
Well, yeah, but too,
he stuck it out in Milwaukee.
I think he feels like Milwaukee's home to him. Like they've embraced him, and he I think he feels a sense of loyalty. I don't want to speak for the young man, but
I wish you would.
Well, I mean, his actions say that. His actions have said, he's staying loyal to the city that embraced him and that he had success.
Did you guys see what he said yesterday about how he stays grounded and he doesn't get too big of a head and all that stuff? It was like, it was a freaking fantastic. He's a thoughtful guy.
You mean from a couple of days ago when he talked about the past, the present, and the future? Yeah. Yeah, that was from over the weekend. that went viral?
I just happened to see. I guess I missed. I didn't see it till yesterday.
You got your head in the Beverly Hills clouds. You don't know what's coming or going, dude. For real.
I'm trying to focus on the present, like Giannis says.
Right.
Be here now.
I just wanted you to acknowledge that, and that's another reason why we want Giannis to win tonight. Because he stuck it out.
Yeah, because you can say Chris Paul had to run to Phoenix to join Booker
sure.
to try to win, right?
Sure. And that's why LeBron James is courtside supporting Chris Paul. Was he not at courtside? And when they asked him why he was there, he said supporting Chris Paul. Because he said the best way to win a title is to join a super team and just jump from team to team.
I don't blame Chris Paul for wanting to go somewhere where he can win it. Nobody really thought the Suns were going to win a title.
That's my point. You don't have to blame it because everyone does it. But that's why Giannis deserves more respect. You don't have to blame anybody.
I agree with that.
But that's why he should be applauded for this.
I agree.
You know?
I agree with you. 100%.
That's all?
I love it.
Do you think LeBron was really there for Chris Paul?
That's what he said.
Or was he there for that bottle of tequila sitting underneath his feet?
Well, I mean, that tequila would have been with him
anywhere,
you know?
No, it's his tequila. Right. And he's sitting, and they showed it several
times. He's promoting it. Sure
right.
he is.
Yeah. I mean,
hey, man, I'm not hating that. Go make that money, man. Conor McGregor, that stuff.
Didn't say you're there to promote the tequila. There's a bottle of tequila underneath my seat, and that's why I'm sitting here in game
five. Even though he's with the Lakers, you find it a very difficult time to like him, don't you?
Nah, absolutely.
You just can't do it.
It affects my fandom.
Right.
Absolutely it does.
Doesn't it make you like Giannis more that he didn't run off?
Oh, yeah. I mean, anything that is counter LeBron, I'm all for it.
There it is. Also, Ken wants Nate to know, and Jake, I get chili plain and a Skyliner, which is a chili cheese coney. It is the best.
Yeah, that's a chili dog's fine.
It's considered a Greek-style chili. He said the chili there is the best.
I mean, it's fine. I make better chili than they have, though.
Ken said theirs is the best, and Nate, you say it's not very good at all.
My mom's chili is way better than Skyline's
chili. I'd say it's literally the worst chili I've ever had in my life.
See, now, it's very difficult for me to grasp what's going on. Ken says it's the best on Twitter, and you say it's literally the worst chili you've ever had in your life.
I might have had some terrible chili out of a can somewhere.
Right, I was going to say, I think I may have had some worse chili. Yeah, it's hard for me to say, but it's not.
Not hard for Nate to say.
It's not chili. It's like spaghetti sauce.
Yeah, it's way watery.
They call it the gravy.
Yeah.
It's way more watery than regular chili. I'm with Nate on that. There's something.
For someone that hasn't had it, it's so confusing to have Ken, a good listener, say, hey, it's the best.
Well,
and then Nate's like, it's the worst I've ever had in my life.
Jason Anderson texted me and he said, Skyline is meat water for rats.
Good God, that's such a horrible description of anything. That's terrible.
I got a kick out of that. But yeah,
that'd be a good name for a band, Meat Water.
Yeah, right. No.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Meat Water.
Hey, I like them. They have one good song, but
one hit
good
wonder.
Live. Let's sit here and watch.
One hit wonder.
Meat Water.
Their only song is called Skyline Chili.
Yeah. Their
only
song is called Here Comes Diarrhea by Meat Water.
Five-way chili.
You are right, though. The only good part about that is the cheese.
So confused by this. Greg and Ken. Greg says it's great. Ken says it's the best.
I like both of those guys. Thanks for listening, Ken and Greg. Thank you very much.
Yep. We appreciate Greg and Ken, I don't know. I haven't had it, but you got Nate telling me it's worse
of all time. We appreciate you listening to the show. But
and if I ever find myself in Cincinnati, I've often said I'm going to go to Skyline.
Yep.
But not if I got someone calling it rat water. I got Jake.
Oh, I want you to go and try it just so you can.
Oh,
yes.
What I
want
to do that for the way you're talking about this.
No, I want you to. So you can be like, yeah, that's garbage. It's absolute trash.
Drake says Ken is dead wrong.
Drake is right. Drake is never wrong.
That's
ever.
True.
Ever. Drake is not wrong.
And guess what? If Drake is wrong, I don't want to be right.
Neither do I.
How's that sound?
That sounds perfect to me. That sounds correct.
But you can see how I can be confused, right? So It's all over the map here.
Yeah, don't let. Like I said, Greg and Ken, I respect your opinions, even though they're wrong. I'll respect them, but you couldn't be more wrong.
Mm, wow. Let's take a break and think about this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We got Nate to turn his back on LeBron James in the last segment. We'll see what else we can accomplish between now and 10 o'clock.
I enjoyed that.
I still Did love you? LeBron.
Yeah.
No.
You do love LeBron, but you think you might like Giannis more. And that warms my heart.
But he's way, way, way more likable.
He is.
I mean, that's not even close.
Not for me.
For now.
What do you think's going to happen?
Think I can turn heel real quick?
Well, when guys start winning a whole bunch, he goes out, wins a few titles, people start finding reasons to dislike him just like they do everybody else.
Maybe.
Look at all the people around the country that are trying to take shots at Patrick Mahomes all of a sudden.
Well, I don't care what those people do. I just care about us.
I don't really see all those people.
I think people love Patrick Mahomes. He didn't have to run off any place to win a title either. Won it right here with the team that drafted him.
And then signed a big old contract.
Yeah. Well, you want him to leave?
No, I'm just saying.
Is that what Nate's just suggesting?
No.
You want him to leave?
Nate's not that dumb.
Come on, bro.
I don't think so.
I hope Giannis wins.
I do too.
I hope he wins in game 7.
Go ahead and get this done tonight.
Nah, I'll drag
and you
this thing
can listen
out.
To it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Drag this thing out. Let's get to football season.
We are 10 days away from the trade deadline. I will ask you again. Will the Royals trade anyone of significance?
Well,
Nate Ducati.
Who's of significance that they could trade? Santana?
Carlos Santana, Andrew Benintendi, Whit Merrifield, I think
Scott Barlow,
Josh Starmont, Scott Barlow. Zimmer. I mean, any of the bullpen arms. Michael Taylor would be a minor deal. Like guys, something like that. Whatever.
I feel like the bullpen guys were all, I could see him trading one of the bullpen guys.
Well, turn your nose up at that, man. You watch today. You watch Milwaukee. That's how they got one of the hottest hitting players in all of baseball, Willy Adames. They traded two bullpen arms for him, and since he's arrived in Milwaukee, he's been their MVP. Look at the numbers he's put up in Milwaukee. Unbelievable. And you want to scoff at that? I don't think so.
Quit scoffing at that.
Yeah, I think the Royals would be opening to trading guys like that. I don't see him trading Witt. Or Salvi. I mean, I don't know what you get for Santana right now. You talked about it yesterday. He's not. I mean, he's getting on base and he's hitting some home runs, but his numbers are not all too impressive right now.
Milwaukee traded J.P. Fireisen and Drew Rasmussen to the Tampa Rays on May 21st. For Willy Adames and Trevor Richards. And since that trade, Willy Adames has a slash line of 314, 398, 578, and 976 OPS with 11 home runs, 16 doubles, 37 ribbies, a couple of steals, played a very good defensive shortstop. All that in 211 plate appearances. And they've been a much better baseball team since they acquired him. And so my point is, you can go out and get a player of significance while giving up a couple of maybe high-end bullpen arms. And the Royals do have a couple of high-end, high-upside bullpen arms in Scott Barlow and Josh Staumont. And you can throw Kyle Zimmer in there. So that's why I say that would be a trade of significance, because you can get a pretty damn good return for high upside bullpen arms.
Well, hey, yeah, I mean, I think they'll be open to it. I think the Royals will be open to trading these guys.
Will they be open to trading Barlow and Staumont?
Why not?
Well, because sometimes the Royals are too loyal and too addicted to their own players, and they don't want to make those moves.
seems like when they usually, unfortunately, they find themselves in this position a lot where they're just completely buried by the time the trade deadline comes around.
2 minutes, two.
And they have been willing to trade away relievers. They haven't been willing to trade away guys they have signed to long-term contracts or guys they think are, I don't know what you want to call it, you know, part of the future, so to speak. So I could see them making a couple bullpen trades. I could see that. I don't see much more than that.
Why not?
Well, because here's my opinion is, and I think this is personally, I think this is a flaw of the Dayton Moore era. I admire it on the one hand, but it, unfortunately, I think it has set the team back, is they think they're going to win next year all the time.
Can I finish your thought, and then I want to read something to you and get your reaction to it.
Well, you know, like, and Buster only told us, I don't think the Royals are that far off. I think they could be contenders next year. And
stop,
I think the Royals will always believe that. They always, because they go in every year thinking, we're going to compete this year. And
I think if anything, this season should snap people back into reality. They're not close to competing. That's not correct.
Do you think the Royals believe they're not close to competing next year?
They should, and if they don't, then that's an issue. Do you believe that, Nate?
Do I believe they're going to be contenders, or do I think they think they're going to be
contenders? Do you believe they are close to contending and will contend next year?
No.
Okay, so let me read you this excerpt from an article back in November in the Kansas City Star. Dayton Moore was asked about Tampa's success. He said, they do an excellent job of developing and maintaining pitching. They're very transactional. They're more transactional than we are. I've been criticized for that many times, that we stay for players a little too long. Sometimes it works out great, sometimes it doesn't. We're one of the least transactional organizations in baseball. Moore seemed to indicate a potential change in this regard when he said, I think as we go forward, I have to be more open-minded to being more transactional. That was in November when he was interviewed by the Kansas City Star about the upcoming season. Do you take anything away from that? And that was written by Lynn Worthy. Do you take anything away from that, that now that there's an opportunity when the Royals are buried, that Dayton Moore said moving forward that maybe he needs to be more open-minded about being more transactional, maybe like Tampa has been in the past? But the problem is Tampa, they always think they're going to be good the following year, and Tampa usually is.
Right. Well, I mean, we'll see how much does Dayton Moore evolve. You know,
didn't you guys find those comments, those quotes interesting, though?
Very interesting. Yeah, very interesting.
Like, hey, we haven't been as transactional. I've been criticized for that. Moving forward, I need to be more open-minded about it. That was this offseason. They hoped to compete, and they didn't.
He's got his chance.
So
he's got his chance coming in the next 10 days.
That's right.
The actions will dictate whether those words were something of reality.
Jake is not interested in words.
Uh-uh.
He's interested in actions.
Plans of action.
So don't talk about it. Be about it.
There we go. Let's take a break. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's check in with Gary Lezak and ask him why he's threatening people with the promise of a heat wave. Hello, Gary. How are you?
I just joined. I didn't hear Jake was talking so much. I didn't hear what your intro was to me. I think it was something about a heat wave.
Why are you threatening people with a heat wave?
I'm not threatening.
Well, sure,
I mean,
you are.
We haven't truly had a heat wave in 2 years. There hasn't been a tornado watch in over 2 years. You know, at least, you know. Hot.
Why does it sound like you're rooting
humid
for those things?
Yeah. I don't root for them. Here's the song Hot and Humid for those of you just joining us for the first time. Amazing.
This better not have anything to do with the summer anti-cyclone.
Yeah, it has a lot to do with the summer anti-cyclone.
What? Are you
the
kidding me?
Anti-cyclone. Yes. I have a whole video. That? You can watch it.
You know, trash that Nate talks about Iowa and Iowa State, he's an anti-cyclone. Did you know that?
No, I'm a Bishop Ward cyclone.
You are an anti-cyclone.
No, my high school nickname is the cyclone.
Yeah, but you moved on now to trashing Iowa and Iowa State all the time, so you're an anti-cyclone.
And now you're an anti. Now right. Nate is an anti-cyclone.
Don't label me like that.
You turn clockwise. You don't turn counterclockwise.
No, it's the truth about it. He does turn counterclockwise.
Fair enough.
You do spin clockwise. Amazing.
I think, you know what, Gary, isn't it all about, you know, sinking air and rising temperatures? Come on now.
Yeah, it is. I'm impressed that one little video can teach so much.
What do you mean a video? I knew this. No video.
You knew it? Yeah, sure. Well, you can go to KSHB41, go to KSHB.com, and click on the blog, and you'll see the video about the anti-cyclone today. There's only been 2 days 90 degrees or higher this entire month. It was 93 on July 9th. It was 90 on July the 14th. Otherwise, it's been in the 80s or 70s every day for the first 20 days of the month, including today with a high of 86. Tomorrow, 88. So we'll complete the first 3 weeks of July, all with just two 90-degree days. Not bad. The last week of July, the first week of August, climatologically, is the hottest time of the year. And so it will typically be the hottest time of the year. And this year, the pattern is lined up for it to be as well. So in the next 10 days, a heat wave is likely, which is defined to be three consecutive days, 95 degrees or hotter. And then it'll break by the first week of August. I expect it to break after about 5 to 7 days of a pretty big heat. And then we can start looking ahead to football season and September.
I was watching this video, and tell me if I'm wrong, it said, because of the anti-cyclone, Kansas City will be hot as balls.
Whoa. Ooh, who said that?
The video you had said that. Is that not? Ooh, did I mishear that?
You have to watch the video now. I have to watch the video and see if I said that.
Well,
I could have.
I don't know if that's an actual weather term.
Sounds
but
like that video is not safe for work.
Right.
Speaking
I sent
of
Gary
balls,
a video from L.A. the other day.
I got three dad jokes for you, Nate. Are you ready?
Gary just ignored what you just said because he doesn't want to talk about
Nate?
It.
What'd you say?
He wants to know if you got his video from L.A.
I don't. I got a video from L.A.
Gary just said, speaking of balls, I got dad jokes for you.
That's right. I mean, that was funny.
That was actually funny, Gary.
That was the joke.
I know.
That's good.
Gary. Fire this morning, buddy.
I've got three great dad jokes. You ready?
Well, let's hear them. You got these 2 minutes.
Okay, so, Stephen, how often am I three for three?
Never. Well, you thought that was funny, didn't you?
Oh, my goodness. All right. Why did the Clydesdale give the pony a glass of water?
Why?
Because he was
a little horse.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one. I like that one. A pony's
okay,
a little
even
horse.
Likes little horses.
Yeah.
Let's go two for two. You ready?
Yes.
What lies at the bottom of the ocean and twitches?
Lies at the bottom and twitches. What?
A nervous wreck.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Come on.
I'll take that. That's good. That's pretty good.
All right. Here we go. The rare three for three on dad jokes. The rare three for three.
Wow, you're
being
generous.
Thank you, Scott Winkler. Thank you for Scott Winkler for getting me these dad jokes because we're going to go three for three today.
Okay.
Why does a chicken coop only have two doors? Why does a chicken coop only have two doors?
Because there's cocks in the hen house.
No.
Oh, okay. What?
Because if it had four, it would be a chicken sedan.
No. No. I'm out on that
come
one.
Come on.
Nate or Jake, do you like it?
I did. I liked it.
Jake, what's your ruling on that one?
Meh. 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 That's a stretch. That's a stretch.
You're, all right.
Your dad, speaking of balls, your dad's joke, that was funny, actually.
But. Hey, Gary. Would you would you like to travel into the future with me right now?
Yes, let's travel into the future.
Listen to me. Here's me, the first week of August, live in St. Joseph, Missouri, covering training camp.
My balls was hot.
Thank you.
So. You take your pants off?
That's better than all three dead jokes.
Right, that's just a prediction I have. Thank you very much, Gary, for all of your efforts
today.
All right.
High today of 86 degrees. Enjoy this great summer weather while we've got it. Here is Bob Hamilton.
Thanks, Gary. Turns out size matters. Don't buy the wrong size AC unit. Let our expert size your home for the perfect AC system. Better call Bob, 888-4-B-O-B. Remember, 913. Or we'll BobHamilton.com.
We'll be back after this with Jeff Chedia on Sports Radio 810 WHP.